Age will likely be a factor in the selection of the next pope. The cardinals of the Catholic Church start their conclave on Monday. John Paul II was elected as a relatively young man. He served 26 years, the third longest papacy in history. As NPR's Barbara Bradley Haggerty reports, that longevity is bound to affect the cardinal's decision.
For many people, slipping into noonday mass at the National Shrine of the Basilica in Washington, D.C., Pope John Paul II was the only pope they've ever known. They remember John Paul in a kaleidoscope of images, fighting communism, hewing to conservative values on sexuality, an active, strapping pope changing before our eyes into a quiet man whose hands shook and whose speech slurred. With such contrary images, it's not surprising that the faithful here, such as Geraldine Rowling and Don Frost, Joseph Parker and Pocahontas Davis, have conflicting hopes for the next pope.
I'd like to see a younger person who would have a lot of longevity.
What's that?
I think it gives good consistency and continuity to the church.
I think I just want somebody healthy.
I lean more toward an older pope who has had some sense of history.
I guess you're going to have people to argue for a short term and people to say no, go longer. I really think it's in that person's heart.
Now, as the cardinals gather in Rome for the conclave, they will no doubt contemplate not only God's will, but man's lifespan in the 21st century. George Weigel, the pope's biographer, believes the conservative cardinals who will elect the next pope, all but three of them appointed by John Paul, will want to write John Paul's legacy in indelible ink.
If the task of the next pontificate is to institutionalize in the life of the church the vision articulated by John Paul II, that's a 20-year job, and that argues for a younger man. I think the cardinals may also wish to have a more vigorous public presence in the papacy.
Remembering that the Polish cardinal, Karol Wojtyła, revolutionized the papacy when he was elected in 1978, Weigel says it took a young man to challenge communism and the consumerism of the West. Here's the Pope addressing the United Nations shortly after becoming pontiff.
We cannot stand idly by when thousands of human beings are dying of hunger, nor can we remain indifferent when the rights of the human spirit are trampled upon.
It was a signal to communist and wealthy nations alike that this would be a different kind of papacy. But the second half of his tenure was eclipsed by other challenges that the aging pontiff was perhaps less able to tackle. For example, the conflict with Islam in Africa and the impact of globalization on the Third World. For that reason, Chester Gillis of Georgetown University believes the cardinals will choose someone grayer whose influence cannot cast such a long shadow over the church. Gillis notes that a pope who is the man of the hour today may not be 25 years from now. Gillis suggests the pope's recent frailty took a toll on the church. He says the pope was slow to pick up on the clergy sex abuse scandal, and he says there's evidence that at the end the pope was not writing important documents himself, but relying on others.
I think things were passed by the pope for his approval, but I doubt that he could have seen the details at the end of all the documents that were coming forth. And in that way, the church starts to become run by a certain cadre of cardinals who accumulate power over time. And that can be good and bad. That can have deleterious effects.
Biographer George Weigel counters that John Paul was physically robust enough to visit dozens of countries. He and others say that watching the vigorous religious rebel become an old man who could barely lift his head provided the world with one of the hallmarks of John Paul's papacy. His suffering telegraphed a critical message that all life is valuable, even one racked with Parkinson's, and it took an old and beloved man like John Paul to give that message meaning. Barbara Bradley Haggerty, NPR News.